사랑이 말이에 오랑이 누이에 투이 호네 오 바브 투누 그에 타카토네 오테 타야에 아피네 이아 타도 티헤 마우리 오라. This is the Green Desk on 95BFM.
It is indeed, and this week Mitchell speaks to Professor Susie Wood, Susie Wood, of Lakes 380, a group within Aotearoa who are collecting a whole heap of data on the lakes and the health of the lakes across the country, as well as developing some relatively forward technology to kind of collect this data and bounce forward with it. Mitchell starts by asking, I believe, what the project is and what the work is on and surrounds.
It's a five-year funded research project, and the aim of Lakes 380 is to assess the current and historic health of New Zealand's lakes. So New Zealand has 3,800 lakes, and we're aiming to sample 10% of those. And we, so that they're right the way across the country, and they cover a range of different gradients. So we've got little small lakes on farms up to alpine lakes nestled up in the mountains to, you know, some of New Zealand's largest and deepest lakes. And all sorts of different land use around them and different depths of lakes.
So it's my sort of understanding that this, until now, hasn't happened in Aotearoa. Why has it been deemed necessary, or why is it happening right now?
So it's the largest lake sampling program ever undertaken in New Zealand. I guess there's a huge interest in freshwater in New Zealand, and I guess acknowledgement of the, you know, the importance of it for all sorts of different values and spiritual and cultural reasons. Yeah, and I think that, you know, the really novel thing about this project is it combines a whole lot of, you know, really amazing scientists and researchers who have a whole group of a whole collection of different skill sets. And so I think, you know, technology has advanced a lot, and it's really allowing us to sample things on this scale. Previously you might have been able to sample sort of one or two or three lakes, and that might have taken weeks or months to analyse, but now, just because of the new techniques, we can analyse things much quicker and at, you know, a resolution that's going to be really valuable. And yeah, I mean, I guess sort of a couple of the main reasons for doing this study are that we recognise that our lakes are changing, and it's really time to understand why those are changing, and to think, you know, if we want to try and restore these lakes and to return them to what they were once like, how can we go about that? And by knowing something about the history of the lake, that can really inform how we do that. And also, I guess the other really important thing to remember is it's much easier to protect a lake than it is to try and restore a lake. And so by doing this study, you know, we're hoping to highlight that many of our lakes are still actually in really great condition, and if we prioritise protecting those lakes, then, you know, for the long term, that would be, not much better for our lakes and the organisms that live in them, but also sort of financially for people trying to look after lakes as well.
It might vary lake to lake, but what is the sort of overall technique into finding all this information out?
Yeah, so there's a variety of different things that we do. One of the main things we do is that we take a sediment core from the middle of the lake. So year by year, sediment is laid down into a lake, and so it's like, a storybook back in time. And so a sediment core, or the ones that we're taking, they're about the size of a drain pipe. If you imagine a common downpipe on a house, and we take usually up to about 2 metres. Sometimes we can't get down to 2 metres, but we try to. And that usually takes us back at least 1,000 years, and sometimes more, into the history of that lake. And so we take that sediment core, and we take it back into the laboratory, and we slice that core in half down the centre, and we go back and usually in about centimetre layers and take various samples, and we can look at things like the pollen that's preserved in that sediment core, and that will tell us what the vegetation around the lake was like, or if that's changed. And we've also got a whole range of methods that look at DNA of different organisms that live in the lake, and so we can see what was there perhaps 100 years ago or up to 1,000 years ago. And so, and one of the really cool things about the study is we're trying to go back 1,000 years, and that takes us, in New Zealand, that takes us back to pre-human arrival.
And it's really
unique globally, because there's not many countries in the world that you can actually go back and have a look at what your lakes are like before any humans arrived.
Yeah, that's a question. Is this sort of being done internationally at all, or are we sort of leading the way, or are we a bit behind?
Yes, I mean the types of analysis that we're doing, I mean, some of them are very cutting edge in terms of the DNA, and some of the other scanning techniques that we're using And these have been done on, you know, small numbers of lakes before, but I think this will be the largest scale this has been performed on. There's actually a really similar study happening in Canada right at the same time, almost in parallel, where they're also trying to sample about the same number of lakes. But
awesome.
Yeah, interestingly, it's very similar to what we're doing. Yeah, and I guess as well as collecting samples to look at how that lake's changed over time, we also take samples to look at what that lake is like now. So we take water samples
right.
and we look at what organisms live in the lake now and what the clarity and the quality of the water is like. So we're trying to get a stock take, if you like, of what are these lakes like right now and why and how have they changed.
Definitely, I suppose we're lacking in that sort of information, really, when we're, you know, making all these new freshwater policy documents and all these kind of things. What has there sort of been anything surprising that you've discovered or come across that's kind of just a bit, you know, a bit out there?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think it's really amazing to, you know, to travel around these lakes, and we've got such an incredibly beautiful and diverse selection of lakes in New Zealand. And yeah, I think you often have preconceived ideas about what the water quality or the organisms that live in a lake might be before you arrive at the site, and also the causes of deterioration in lakes. So people often associate deterioration with land use change around a lake, but we've also, you know, we've got some really nice evidence from some of our lakes that show that it's due to the introduction of invasive or introduced species. Some of these sort of fish that we've added over the years have a really big impact on lake water quality and also the organisms that live in it. And yeah, I guess some of the data that we're generating that's showing that is, yeah, it's been quite surprising just how stark the changes from those, I guess, those naive addition of those organisms into those lakes, you know, 100-odd years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I suppose, yeah. I mean, would trout be quite a significant impact on a lake?
Yeah, so trout is one organism that we're studying. So there's been quite a lot of work done on trout in rivers, and we know that they impact, for example, our native fish communities. But their impact in lake environments is less well known. So it is one that we're looking at. We have to pick our lakes carefully. So we have to find lakes that have trout introduced, but perhaps no other invasive species introduced. So we actually haven't started that project yet, but some of the other introduced sort of coarse fish, so things like perch, for example, is one that we know has a really big impact because it eats small aquatic organisms that then selectively feed on algae, which then changes all of the sort of what we call the food web dynamics, and that's in many lakes that's leading to increases in algal blooms. So there's really dynamic systems, and you know, these small, these reasonable changes that we made 150 years ago, you know, in some lakes it takes quite a long time for the actual impacts of those to manifest.
And I noticed you guys are taking a bit of a different approach, or more of a comprehensive approach, and you guys have sort of involved Maturanga Māori in your science as well. What sort of role is that playing?
Yeah, so it's really integrated right the way through the study. So there's two different parts to it, I guess, or aspects to it. One is that a really important part of the project is that we have discussions up front with the iwi that are affiliated or associated with the lakes and the regions that we're going to, and it's really neat to hear which lakes are culturally significant and hear some of the history of the lakes, and you know, we help that guide the selection of which lakes we sample in a region. And often we'll start our sampling in a region by working with the local iwi, and it's a really neat process, and we spend a morning at the lake and show them how we sample and hear the stories of the lake. And yeah, we've established some amazing relationships, and it's just really, really awesome to see how passionate they are about the lakes. And then the other part of the project is we've got a couple of focal regions, and one of those is in the Wairarapa and the other one is in the Rangitiki region, where we're working really closely with iwi there. And it's about, yeah, I guess it's as well as our our science that we do, where we take these water samples and sediment samples, it's also about hearing their stories and connections, and I guess weaving different types of knowledge together to try and enrich what we know about lakes, and then also thinking about how we can transfer that knowledge in different ways. So instead of perhaps writing scientific reports, we're looking at doing some quite neat web-based kind of portals which will kind of weave those different knowledge streams together. So yeah, hopefully they'll be up and running next year. We're collecting a series of interviews and filming and different ways of seeing knowledge, I guess.
That's absolutely amazing. I mean, I think that's about all the questions I have. Do you think there's anything else to discuss about this? Anything that's bursting?
I guess the one thing would be interesting to say is that we're about halfway through the project, or halfway through the sampling aspect at the moment. So we've sampled 155 lakes, and we've got something like 1 kilometre of sediment core in our fridges.
Whoa.
And freezers. So yeah, it's a huge logistical undertaking, and yeah, something in the order of 10,000 samples. So once the sediment core comes back to our lab, it's broken into those sort of 1 centimetre subsections, and yeah, then that gets divided off for a whole bunch of different types of analysis. So yeah, it's going to be a huge amount of data, and I think the study lasts for 5 years, but it's probably, you know, another decade or so where we still see the data coming out. And we also keep archive sediment cores, so that as technology and techniques improve and change, they'll be there as a resource for New Zealand to come back and look at.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Moriora.